Tonight's Creepypasta Storytime is brought to you in cooperation with The Confessionals, a podcast dedicated to interviewing people who have witnessed the strange and unusual. You can find more of The Confessionals podcast at theconfessionalspodcast.com. After delving into one of the patient's accounts, I become more aware of the bizarre array of afflictions that we contain here. And I'll be honest, I never really thought of the patients as people before. Crazy is a label that immediately dehumanizes someone, cutting them off from any sympathy or understanding. So there's one girl, for instance, who refuses to talk to anyone unless she's allowed to feel their temples for nerve fibers first, whatever that means. Other than that, and some mild paranoia, she seems completely aware and normal, but before, it was easy to write her off as just some crazy patient. I mean, see, I wonder what she was thinking. She refused to give any explanation for her behavior. The more I read their accounts, the more I realize that these are real people afflicted by tortures beyond mundane imagination. Last night, reading while on break, one man's words caught my attention. I know him. He's constantly depressed, resigned, drained. But now I think that underneath all that, it may be like any of us. It's just pain. Pained by this thing that grips him.
Fine, I'll tell you. Just no more shocks. You promise no more shocks if I tell you. It doesn't make a difference anyway. I know how it started. It's obvious now when I think back. I was on the street walking with friends. We were drinking, heading to the next bar when some weird, disgusting guy with desperate eyes bumped into me. He smelled like sweat. Something else. But he spilled something on me. I got it on my hand, on my fingernails specifically. It was blood. He spilled blood on me. He froze. Seemed horrified, said, "I'm sorry," he said. I believed him, but I didn't know what he was sorry for. He ran. Disgusted, I cleaned it off. I tried to forget about it. Nothing happened for a while. God, I remember every detail of that night, lying by myself in my crappy little apartment. How I miss it. A palace compared to your care. I woke up just before it happened. I gazed at my dark ceiling, feeling strange. I was curled up in pain, too shocked even to scream. I remember staring at it, not yet understanding how screwed I was. This long, bloody blade thing was sticking out of my shin. Where'd it come from? Someone stabbed me? I didn't understand. I reached for the phone, but seized with pain again as the blade moved. Another long, white, razor-like thing shot out and the two separated, slicing an open line in my shin. I had sudden visions of the razors continuing, slicing me into sections, from the inside out. And now I kind of wish they had. I didn't have much time to panic. The slicing stopped. I stared, clutching my leg. Four more bloody protrusions joined the first two, and then it slid out. Shaking, numb from shock and pain, I felt a small relief that I wasn't about to be carved up, and that consolation vanished. As I realized something living had just crawled out of my shin bone. Dripping with my blood. Scanned the room with six pearly eyes. Seemingly carved from bone, it stood on six razor-like legs. The blades that had been eviscerating my skin about 2 feet high. It was much like a spider. Unexpected, it said. It had no mouth, how did it speak? Unexpected, I asked, numb and terrified. Who are you? Trembling and on the verge of tears, I just wanted it to go away. Nobody important. That was the wrong answer. It jabbed a leg back into my exposed shin bone, nearly avoiding the separated flesh and streaming blood. And I felt a sharp jab in my chest. I understood, implicitly horrified, that this creature's razor legs entered my tibia, but emerged from one of my ribs, a blade point pressed against my heart from the inside. "Please, please," I begged, sweat running into my eyes. "I'll do anything you say. I'll do it. I'll do it. Just don't kill me." "Acceptable," he replied. It withdrew its leg, and the pain in my chest went with it. "You'll do as instructed, or die in uttermost pain." "Yeah, yeah, it's fine," I choked out, sobbing. It climbed back into my exposed bone, and then it was gone. Having given me no instructions, I went to the hospital to get my leg sewn up. Claimed it was an accident. It seemed like I had my life back. I was wrong. I was wrong. It slid out between my stitches a few nights later. Dismayed, but ready, I made sure to memorize everything I could about it. Spindly, deadly, it was strangely beautiful in an ivory and insect sort of way. Somebody had to know about this thing. Gave me orders, it made me do things. It started with small crimes. It wanted them done in a specific manner, with contrived evidence left behind for some reason. I wasn't told. It directed me to dangerous criminal locations. Though other people were the least of my concerns by then, one of its other slaves gave me a long animal bone treated with that special blood. And it often made me bring this bone to shady locations. It would emerge from that bone and converse with someone aware of it, able to defend from it, someone it needed to make a deal with for its purpose. I never saw him. I doubted that he would help me, even if I did find him. I gave up hope. After many failed nights of searching for an answer or help, I'd beaten people, mugged them, held up a convenience store at knife point. It even made me get that cursed blood on this guy's fingernail. Yeah, I had to watch. As he slowly separated into sections by protruding razor legs, his hand falling to the floor, his leg popping off at the knee, the rotating slice. He's screaming, he's begging, pleading. It tortured him to death for information. Information I didn't understand. It made me pick up his pieces and dispose of them. God. Whenever I wasn't on assignment, I turned to other ways to try to distract myself from the black pit of despair welling up inside me. My brother found me on the street after a few months of this. I remember every detail of that, too. "You have to come home," he insisted. We'll get you off the drugs, clean you up. Dad'll get you a job." "The drugs aren't the problem," I remember shouting at him. "They're the only thing that can keep me from losing my mind. It's the Bone Walker." And as I said those words, a sharp jab hit me underneath my left shoulder blade. The next scratched the inside of my right lung. I realized it was watching me. The message was clear. If I told anyone, it would carve me up from the inside out. "Get out of here," I screamed at him, feeling every bit the same now as that disgusting and desperate man who'd bumped into me. "You can't help. Go away." I hit the hard drugs even harder. At some point, I was drained of everything, even resembling my old self, and I decided not to do it anymore, even if it meant my death. At its behest, I bought a rifle and trained in its use. It wanted me to kill somebody. Somebody important, but when it came with the name and plan, I would refuse. I wondered how it would do it. You know, would it stab inward from my skull, killing me instantly, or would it slice out each of my bones, carving me up slowly like that poor man? I stared at my gun. I wondered if it would go after my family if I refused. Did I really have a choice, and could I sacrifice my brother too, and my parents? I had to make the Bone Walker think it was my fault. I called and left an anonymous tip, sat there, filled with relief and calm. They surrounded me, put on the handcuffs. I sat in custody, ostensibly caught by the police, when the Bone Walker came. It had no reason to punish my family. It just killed me, and that was it. But it never came. I mean, I know why it didn't return now, but I'm broken, and I'm stuck here in any case. And I keep thinking, what if there was any more? What if they come for me someday? Because I know there'll be no warning. It could come any time, just a sharp sliding sensation, and then I'll be dead.
The thing that captivates me most about his account is that it's very similar to some ravings left by a man who died horribly a while back. He was mutilated in ways unimaginable, as if his face had been torn off from the inside, among other things. His story made the news, and they figured he was the serial killer responsible for several similar horrific deaths. But that man claimed that as his last act, he'd managed to destroy the creature. I suppose this man must have read about the prior man's issues, and formed an obsession, or delusion, about it. I find it curious how contagious crazy can seem to be. And seemingly more so these days. Starting to wonder if this place is truly run to help these people, or whether it's really just here to contain them. Like quarantine for a plague. And now I'm convinced something more is going on.